Welcome to the King's Church podcast. We are an ACC church based on the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. We'd love for you to join us on any given Sunday. In the meantime, we hope this message blesses you.
Well, welcome back, and once again, a big thank you, a big happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, and I just pray that you're having a great day and being well looked after by your family. I want to read a passage of Scripture to you. It's found in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians 2, 19 to 24, and it says this. It says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly." The title of my message today is called The Faith of a Mother. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask and pray that you would just release encouragement and faith to all the mothers out there watching today. I thank you and praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've been watching recently, you would know that we've been doing a series here at church out of the letter of Philippians called Triumph Through Tough Times. And today I want to look at it a little bit differently. I want to start in Philippians, but we'll end up elsewhere. And I read out of Philippians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul was talking about a young man by the name of Timothy. And he said he was going to send Timothy to the Philippians to be a source of encouragement to them, to bring news back to the Apostle Paul. And Paul describes him as one of his most trusted followers and describes him as a true son in the faith. Timothy is mentioned a number of times in the New Testament. In fact, Timothy has two letters in the New Testament written to him by the Apostle Paul called 1st and 2nd Timothy. And Timothy is one of the most prominent leaders in the New Testament church. He is one of the most trusted and closest friends and allies to the Apostle Paul. He was trusted as well with leading one of the most strategically significant churches in the New Testament, the Ephesian church, and he is considered one of the great saints of the early church. And you look at a guy like that and you would think to yourself, well, how did he end up being so used by God? How did he end up being such a guy of strong character? And we see here how the Apostle Paul feels about him. He actually calls him a son in the faith, and the Apostle Paul even describes himself as Timothy's spiritual father. Now, elsewhere in the scripture, we actually get an indication for why Timothy ended up being the great man of God that he ended up being. And so I want to jump down to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And this is Paul writing to Timothy. And he says to Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." So what he's saying is this: Timothy didn't become a man of God when he actually met the Apostle Paul. He already had his own faith. He was already a young man of integrity and faith. And the Apostle Paul attributed that to the influence and the faith of his mother and his grandmother. Notice this, he doesn't say in the case of Timothy that it was actually as a result of his father. He was saying here because of his mother's and grandmother's faith, that was one of the reasons why he stood out to Paul, and it's one of the reasons why he was positioned to become the great Christian leader that God has called him to be. I'm here to let you know that the faith of a mother is vitally important in the raising up of their children, that the faith of a mother can actually raise up future champions and heroes of the faith. Now, interestingly enough, if you know the background to Timothy's life, you would see that the faith of his mother and his grandmother had to overcome a number of serious obstacles. And so I want to talk to you today about three things. I want to talk to you about the faith of a mother and three things a mother's faith can overcome. Three things that a mother's faith can overcome in spite of some of the things that's going around around them in spite of some of the circumstances that they find themselves in. I am speaking today to the mothers who feel like they're not doing enough. I'm speaking today to the mothers who feel like that somehow what they're wanting to do in their children is not getting through. I am speaking today to the mothers who feel like you're doing this thing alone and you feel like that the whole, everything's against you. I want to let you know that your faith can overcome the world and that your faith is vitally important to raising up the future generals, champions, heroes of the faith that God has for the generations coming after us. And so I want to talk to you today about three things that the mother's faith can overcome. And I want to take all these out of the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 3, we see a description of Timothy, and it's like the first time that the Apostle Paul actually met him. So Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 3 says this. Says, then Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed. But his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. So this is talking about Timothy when Paul first finds him. Now notice this, there's a couple of things it says. It says, number one, he was already a disciple. So it wasn't the pastor that actually turned him into a disciple. He was already a disciple. And then it says this, it says that his mother was a Jewish woman who believed. So that means that she was converted from Judaism to Christianity. And then it says, but his father was Greek. Now what that indicates is that his father was not a Christian. Otherwise, it would have said his father was a Greek who believed. Otherwise, the Apostle Paul would have said earlier, I see the faith that's in you from your grandmother, your mother, and your father. But he doesn't say that. So here, the indication is that his father is actually not a Christian. Not only that, many commentators believe that his father actually wasn't on the scene, that his mum was actually a single mum, a single mother raising up Timothy alongside her mother, who was Timothy's grandmother. I actually lean towards that interpretation of the scripture because it says there later on that when Timothy joined Paul, he was going to go and minister to the Jews, and Paul circumcised him, not that it would make him right for God, not that that is a ritual that we need to do now, but to remove a barrier with his audience that might stop them from receiving his message. I remember thinking to myself, there's no way that Timothy's dad would have been on the scene. His dad wasn't a Christian, and I couldn't imagine any non-Christian man allowing his son to have that happen to him. So I fully believe that not only was she that his mother was the only Christian influence along with her mother in the life of Timothy, I also believe his dad wasn't on the scene at all. So here's his mum, she's a Christian. Her husband, if he's around, is definitely not a Christian. And not only that, her husband is there's a high chance that he's not actually there. And so the first thing a faith of a mother can overcome is a mother can overcome an absent father. She is the only Christian. His father is not a Christian. She's a Christian. And yet she was able to raise up a great man of God. You know, there are some studies that suggest that without a doubt, if both parents are Christians, that there is a higher chance that their children will be Christians. And especially so if their father is a Christian. If their father is a Christian, there's a much higher percentage there's a much higher chance that the children will be Christian as well. But that is not the situation that Timothy's mother finds herself in. She's doing it all alone, but it didn't allow the facts or the statistics to stop her from believing that she could raise up a fine young man of God herself. For those mothers who are out there and you feel like you're doing it alone, I want to let you know the raising up of your children into the household of faith can help you to overcome even the absence of a father who's a man of God. That literally your faith is important. You might feel like like you need more support, and you probably do. You might feel like you alone are trying to raise up these children in the ways of God, and you're wondering if it's going to happen. I want to let you know that your faith imparted into the life of your children can actually overcome an absent father. Two of the most famous Christian leaders in history are the brothers John and Charles Wesley. Now, John actually started the Methodist movement. And so he was a great evangelist, a great apostle of the faith, and raised up and one of the most well-known leaders in Christian history. His brother Charles is probably the most prolific hymn writer in the history of Christianity. The volume of hymns that he wrote was absolutely incredible. Now, they were the children of Samuel and Susanna Wesley. And Samuel and Susanna Wesley actually had 19 children. Nine of them passed away at birth, and another two of them actually passed away a little while later on. So you can imagine their parents had been through a lot of suffering and a lot of disappointment. Not only that, their father Samuel was a pastor, but he probably had somewhat delusions of grandeur. And so he was very poor with money, to the point that the family was destitute. He himself had a number of times away from his family. There was one time when he actually had an entire year away from his family. He and his wife were separated. He left the kids with mum at home. Not only that, he actually spent time in prison as well for unpaid debts and misappropriation of finance. Not only that, he didn't show a lot of interest in his children. He spent his life's work writing a commentary on the book of Job. In fact, history suggests that he spent all their family's finances on doing this pet project of his, which actually ended up making no money and actually had little influence. And so basically, Susanna Wesley raised the children essentially by herself. Yet she is far more well known than her husband. Why? She wasn't a preacher. She wasn't a pastor. She wasn't a famous person. But she invested all her life into the lives of her children. She had so many children, yet she would spend time with each one every day. She was a strict disciplinarian. She raised them up. She was the one who taught them scripture. She was the one who trained them in the ways of God. And yet without any little support or without even a very strong marriage. And yet from her came two of the absolute giants of the Christian faith, John and Charles Wesley. I want to let you know that you don't, Mum, you don't need the environment to be perfect to raise up mighty men and women of God. Your faith can even overcome an absent father, a father that's not playing any part in their life. Don't believe the lie that says you can't do much, because history is littered with the amount of women that by themselves were able to raise up great men and women of God. A great friend of mine, another pastor in our state, was one of 11 children, and his father was a pastor of a church. Yet his father walked away from the faith. His father actually abandoned and left the family, and the children were raised up simply by their mother. It got so overwhelming for her that one night she actually contemplated jumping off a bridge. She had parked her car, was walking to a bridge, and she was actually contemplating whether she should jump off. And when she did, she just felt the Spirit of God speak to her and say, listen, don't do this. Go back. It'll be okay. So she went back and raised up those 11 children by herself. If you look at the lives of all those children, so many of them have become great men and women of God. I won't name their names, but I know many of them, and they are people of faith. They are people who are used mightily of God. There are people who have taken on the faith of their mother and rejected the unbelief of their father, and God has used them mightily. And I'm spending a lot more on this point than I would normally do, but I want to encourage some mums there sitting at home feeling like you can't do it alone. I'm here to let you know that your faith can overcome an absolute and father. The second thing that the faith of a mother can overcome says in Acts 16 verse 1, says, and he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. So Timothy's mum was Jewish and his father was Greek. Now, at that time, it was unlawful for a Jewish person to marry a Gentile, a non-Jewish person. Yet the fact is that she was a Jewish woman and had married a Greek man. What that means is she had rejected at one point and walked away from the faith of her family, the Jewish faith. And she had actually rejected all that and gone away from the things of God. And yet, in the midst of that, even though she did what was at that time considered something that was unlawful and unclean, God still used her to raise up one of the great leaders of the early church, Timothy. So the second thing that your faith can overcome is the faith of a mother can overcome her disobedient past. It doesn't matter what you have done in the past. In Christ, we can have a new beginning. The Bible says the new is gone, the old is gone and the new is come. That in Christ, we're a new creation. And so you might have felt that you have made some mistakes in the past, and because of those mistakes of the past, you're filled with guilt and shame and you feel like you're not able or not qualified to raise up these children. I'm here to let you know it doesn't matter about your past. That in through Christ, all sins can be forgiven. That God can give you a new life and a new future. God has a plan and a purpose for every single life. And when you turn away from sin and you give your life to Him, you'll be amazed at what He does. A classic example of this in the scripture is a story of a woman named Rahab. Now, Rahab was not an Israelite. She was not Jewish. And she was living in the walls of Jericho, which was a city that the Israelites were trying to take over. And her occupation at the time was that she was a prostitute. Cut a long story short, she supported the Israelite nation at that time. And so when the Israelites came to power, she actually left and joined them. Now, her background was one of the occupation that she had meant that she would have been considered a less desirable person in society. It means that it's highly unlikely that a man would actually want to marry her or anything like that. Yet, because she turned away from that and she joined God's people, she actually ended up marrying a guy by the name of Salmon. Interesting name, Salmon. It's probably more properly pronounced Salmon. And she married this guy named Salmon, and then they had a child, and the child's name was Boaz. Now, it was said about Boaz that Boaz was very wealthy. So what that means is this. Here is this woman that actually had this past, had this somewhat seedy past, and yet she came, she got restored, she married into faith, and then what happened was that she was obviously prosperous as a result. Way more prosperous than she would have been otherwise, because her son Boaz was quite prosperous. But then if you go down the generational line, Boaz married a woman named Ruth, and they had a son named Jesse, and he had a son, and that son's name was David. You might have heard of him before. It's King David, the second king of Israel, the most popular king in Israelite history. And from his generational line came the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So here is this woman with a seedy past, a past that she had regretted, yet she came to faith and was completely restored and forgiven. Her past was not counted against her. And from her, the actual living God, Jesus Christ, actually came from her ancestral line. What that tells me is God does not hold your past against you. It does not disqualify you. Here is Timothy's mother. She'd walked away from her faith, did something that was considered unlawful to those people. And yet from her, because she had her own faith, she raised up one of the great leaders of the early church. Your past does not disqualify you. Your faith can overcome your past. Who cares about your past? It's in the past. God has a glorious future for you. And sometimes, and I just feel right now, there are some ladies watching this, that every time you try and step in, correct, raise up your children, this thought comes into your mind, how can I do this when I know that, how can I correct them when I know what I've done in the, what I had done in the past? Put that to the side and understand that you are qualified to raise them up as the mighty men and women of God that God has called them to be. And the third thing that the faith of a mother can overcome, says in Acts 16 verse 1, says, then Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. So Paul met Timothy in Lystra. Now, if you know anything about Lystra, Lystra was not an easy place to be a Christian. In fact, in Acts chapter 14, it tells us that the Apostle Paul was actually stoned there. What that means is that he was actually had rocks thrown at him. He was such in bad way health-wise that he actually literally got picked up and carried out of the city. There was great persecution in that town. To be known as a Christian, that town simply wasn't ambivalent to their faith. That town wasn't simply, tolerant of their faith. That town was completely antagonistic towards their faith. And that's another reason why I actually believe that her husband, Timothy's father, left. Because if he wasn't a believer, it's unlikely he would want to be associated or have his wife being a Christian, because it would create a lot of persecution and tribulation for him. And yet here we see that Paul meets them in Lystra and he finds this young disciple, a young man who he recognises as being full of faith, that was raised by his mum. Raised in an environment that was completely anti-Christian. Raised in an environment that was very dark. Raised in an environment that was completely anti his faith. And yet this young man, because of the faith of his mother, still flourished in the faith. The third thing that the faith of a mother can overcome is a hostile society. You know, sometimes we look at the world and we think to ourselves, oh, well, you know, it's so hard raising kids in a time like we're in right now. There's so many temptations. There's so much anti-Christian thinking. But I just want to let you know that if they receive the faith from their parents, if we deposit it in them, that eventually that will actually come to fruit. That there's no external thing that can squash that thing out. That if you're a parent watching this and you're worried and afraid for your children, I just want to let you know that if you do as what the scripture says in Proverbs 16, it says, train a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. If you train them and you put them in there, regardless of the pressure from the outside, eventually that thing will come to pass and it will actually raise fruit. Back in the early 300s, 300 AD, there was a lady by the name of Monica. And Monica became a Christian, and she was married to a man who wasn't a Christian, and he was antagonistic towards her faith. It was said that she would actually pray three times a day, and she was known as a very devout woman who loved God, but her husband wanted nothing to do with the faith that she had. She had had a number of children. Unfortunately, like what would happen sometimes in those days, some of those children didn't make it to full term. And one of her children, when he was 11 years of age, they sent to boarding school. And at the boarding school, it wasn't a Christian school. At the boarding school, he was taught pagan beliefs. And it was while he was at this boarding school that he completely rejected the faith of his mother. He became quite a known hedonist, pleasure seeker. And so over the course of the next couple of decades, he became incredibly promiscuous, fathered children with women he didn't end up marrying, was known as a drunkard, and was completely resistant to his mother's faith. His mother would pray three times a day. And so when he would come and visit her, she would try and talk to him about the faith, but he would just out and out reject it. He would go back to where he was living and live a life completely away from the things of God. He had no interest. And not only that, everything surrounding him was pressuring him to live this pagan lifestyle. He was raised up in a school that caused him to live this pagan lifestyle. The only Christian influence he had ever had in his life was actually from his mother named Monica. And she would pray for him three times a day. However, at the age of 31, this now adult man had an encounter with God and gave his life to Christ. And then he came home, told his mother, and she was so happy. And she lived only two more years and saw him in that state. That young man went on to be one of the most well-known leaders in the Christian church at that time. He became a bishop, and his name is known as Augustine. We know him better as Saint Augustine, one of the great early Christian writers and one of the great proponents of the faith. A young man who went away from a completely debased lifestyle, rejected the faith of his mother, yet at the age of 31 turned and gave his life to Christ and became one of the greatest, most well-known leaders leaders in the history of the church. And all because I believe he had a mum who had her faith and who would pray for him three times a day. I want to let you know that external circumstances, society cannot squash the faith that as a mother you put in to the life of your children. The faith of a mother is vitally, vitally important. And you might be worried about the external forces against your children. And you might feel like they're not listening to you. You might feel like they're not taking anything in. But I want to let you know that as you just continue to deposit in their life, the scripture tells us that if you train a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they won't depart. So even if they look like they're departing when they're young, that faith that you deposit in them will eventually bear fruit. And even if they're old, they'll eventually come back to the faith that was deposited in them by their parents and deposited in them by their mother. Mothers, I want to encourage you. Your faith can overcome. You might feel like you're fighting a losing battle, but I want to let you know, as you deposit your faith into the lives of your children, it shall bear fruit. And no external force, no lack of support, no past mistakes can stop that word of God that you're going to put in your children's lives that will eventually bear fruit and could possibly raise up incredible leaders in the future. People like Timothy, people like Augustine, people like that God could use mightily, all because of the faith of their mother, A number of years ago, there was a lady who grew up in far north Queensland, and her name was Lynn. And she grew up in a Christian home, but for whatever reason, she kind of turned away from the faith and that sort of thing. And she married a fine man, but the man was not a Christian. And his name was John, and she was had a bad experience at school in the past regarding Christianity, and was very, very anti-Christianity. And yet Lynn had at one point had a bit of a revitalization in her faith. She had three children and raised up in that house, so she felt like she was the only one that was any kind of Christian influence, and those children showed no inclination at all towards the Christian faith. And she would have, and I know for a fact, she would have felt many, many times in her own household that she was alone, that she was the only one who believed in Christ, that she was the only one who lived like that. And she was worried and concerned that her children would not actually be raised up that way. She passed away about 5 years ago. But by the time that she'd passed, one of her daughters, since then, has become the senior pastor of a church called King's Church, talking about my wife, Trish. Her other daughter had been resistant to the faith, actually got water baptized in our church last year, came to faith. Her son-in-law, who got married to her daughter, actually came to Christ and is now a person of faith. And her son, who's not necessarily a professing Christian, but if you want to talk to him, he can quote you many scriptures, and he can quote you his favourite preachers and the preachers that his mum told him, and I know deep down it's on the inside of his heart. I'm talking about my mother-in-law, and her name's Lynn. And for most of her life, she didn't get to see the faith that she had imparted. But now if you look back, you can see the ripple effect cause and beginning to be caused through the generations, all because of a mother's faith. And I know my wife, Trish, would not be who she is today without her mother's faith and without the prayers of her mother. I want to encourage you today, mums. Those of you out there that feel like you're alone, feel like you've made mistakes, feel like that you're not having an effect, I want to let you know that just like Timothy, when Paul saw him, he said, I could see the faith of your grandmother and the faith of your mother in your life. And I want to encourage some mothers out there who feel like they're not achieving, some mothers out there who feel like they're not doing a good job, some mothers who feel like they don't measure up. I want to let you know that as you deposit faith in the life of your children, you will position them to be used mightily by God. So if you're a mum today, I want to pray for you right now. Pray that God will help you. It's a difficult job being a mother. And I want to pray for you that God will help you in the job that you have. And if you're standing next to your mum or sitting next to your mum or your wife, why don't you lay your hand on it? I'm going to pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray right now for all the mothers out there. I ask and pray that you would help them, strengthen them, and enable them to do this mighty task. Especially those that feel like it's not making any difference. Especially those who feel like they're wondering if they're ever getting through. I know, Lord, that that faith, that seed of the Word of God that they're depositing in their children's lives will surely bear fruit. And I pray that you strengthen them and give them the wisdom they need right now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I was talking about the faith of a mother today, and what is that faith? It's a faith in God. It's a faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe you're watching today and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't have your own faith. Well, all you've got to do is turn, give your life to Him and invite Him into your life. And so if you're watching today and you want to become a Christian, then you can acknowledge it. I'm going to lead you in a prayer and you can acknowledge it. If you're watching on our live stream, there's a hands up. There's a little hands up icon that you can press. And one of our pastors, if you give your details, one of our pastors will contact you about the decision that you want to make. And if you're watching on Facebook Live, then why don't you put on the comment section of our church page and one of our pastors can come and contact you. But if you are there and you don't have a relationship with God, don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but you want to, or maybe you're watching and you've been raised in a Christian home, had a Christian mum, and you walked away from it all your life, but you want to come back to it now, then you can press that icon, write that comment, and pray this prayer after me. Pray this prayer. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Forgive me for being a sinner. I ask you to come into my life, to be my Lord, be my Savior, be my best friend. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. And I thank you that today I'm joining your family. If you made that decision, why don't you press that icon, send off that comment, one of our pastors will contact you. But we want to finish today's service by worshiping God and declaring His goodness. His goodness is always chasing after us. Mums, I pray that you have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned for new messages weekly. You can keep updated on what's happening in the life of King's Church by following us on social media at King's Church GC. Be blessed.